From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Wednesday, January 17th, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher Gunth-Cheesh. Hawa Salamat for joining the conversation. On today's show, Blackwater Railroad Company is in Juneau recording a new album with producer Justin Smith, and they'll play a couple shows at the Crystal Saloon this weekend. We'll have them in studio today. Bartlett Regional Hospital's Aphasia Conversation Group is back up and running through February. We'll chat with the team about this important connection opportunity. And UAS Career Services Manager Amy Richards will tell us about her work and preview the upcoming UAS Spring Career Fair. Those conversations, music, and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Hanson Grass, Ka eat with the shoe ye, where Kashuk are ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta kanakaya ha anikak gunish cheese.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years. With cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com.
The truth alone, it triumphs here. I found myself hoping for rain. Never came. What comes to mind is perfectly clear. She'll love you, forget her name. What was it again? A city of color, really ripping with the heat. The water's warm and cooling off my feet. This camera captures this moment for feet. It was special, my time here was special. It feels familiar, like I've been here before. Won't you help me please remember her name?
You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3, Juno 91.7, Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, and that song was called Ride, which was one of the latest singles from Blackwater Railroad Company, who are in the house. Now they're making their first studio album in over 8 years, I think it is, and they are here working with producer Justin Smith on capturing their exciting sound, and we're going to talk about that, what you guys have been doing with Justin. And you'll have the chance to catch them live at the Crystal this Friday or Saturday as Blackwater Railroad Company and Friends. So I'm assuming we might have some surprise guests. But before we get started in all the details, let's go down the line here. We have five people in the studio here. Let's go down the line and introduce everybody. Let's start over here. Tell us who your name and what you play in the band.
My name is Tyson Davis, and I'm the guitar player slash one of the lead singers.
Awesome. Okay.
My name is Braden Rollins, and I play saxophone and sing as well.
Awesome.
My name is Kyle Camo. I play keyboard.
Awesome.
I'm Rachel D. Temple, and I play fiddle.
Awesome.
I'm Ben Sayers, and I play bass and sing.
Awesome. That's great. It sounds, I mean, you guys, that song, I was hard to turn that song off. I was telling you while I was playing, I was like, because it just gets going, right? It's called Ride, which sort of has that sort of flavor to it. So let's start with this Juno journey, because you live in Seward. Rachel, you live up in Fairbanks. Is that right? Okay. So you've come down to sort of be on the album, basically, or do you also perform with them live?
It's both.
Yeah. Share that mic a little bit. There you go.
I play with them when it works out, which is hopefully a lot, but there are logistical issues to overcome at times.
Of course, absolutely. So, like I said, you've been here working with Justin Smith to produce this new record, and you've been at a couple different locations around town. So give us the lowdown on what you've been doing, how long you've been here, and what you're trying to capture with Justin on this new album.
So we flew in on the 9th of January, and the first few days we're tracking at the Resurrection Lutheran Church. We did everything live track together. So it was the guitar, bass, piano, saxophone, and our drummer who sat in, Todd, One Take Todd,
who lives here
in town. And we did that because we're known to be a quality live band and beloved live band here in the state. And we have always struggled to get that onto our records. And yeah. So that's why when we contacted Justin Smith, he was set in recording in this way. And that just so happened that the Lutheran Church had a baby grand piano in a really nice room. To fit us all in, and I think it's brought out the best in all these songs, and it's made it the most accurate, or like the closest to what we would sound like live too. So it has that spirit.
Cool. That's so awesome. And I know I've been hearing you in my office. I'm upstairs here at KTO, and downstairs you've been down in the studio working for the last couple of days as well, right?
Correct. Yeah, we're in the overdub process now, so we're background vocals. Rachel came down to play fiddle on a bunch of the tracks as well. And we've had Andrew Heiss play mandolin. Ben, I can't remember Ben's last name, but Ben came in to play pedal steel. And we're trying to use cross-pollinate the talent we have here in the state and lean on our southeastern friends to make our album that much better.
Todd Vieira was the drummer. We were introduced by Justin, and he's a fantastic drummer based right here out of Juneau too. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we have a hopping music scene. Justin Smith was on the show recently talking. He produced Annie Bartholomew's album, and Annie's a local here who's been getting a lot of play with her new album, Sisters of Whitechapel. Mm-hmm. So it's great to see Justin sort of continuing on with other Alaskan bands and sort of trying to capture this zeitgeist of musical movement that we have going on right now. It seems like there's a lot of great music in the state happening right now. Mm-hmm. And so is this album, is it capturing kind of the, has it been songs you've been writing for the last 8 years and now you're sort of getting them down on vinyl, as it were, or is it new stuff you're creating? How's that process been?
Well, I feel like we're kind of using this album as a bridge to what we started as in 2012. We started as a string band. So no drummer, very like bluegrass-esque Americana and folk music. And throughout the years, we've developed more on the rock side of things. And with this particular lineup and now adding drums, which we're going to start adding live as well, that's just ushering and adding the saxophone too, which has just opened up this whole new world into our sound. The album starts where we started and it's ending where we're going.
I see.
Sound.
Okay.
So it's kind of in that way.
Oh.
And some of these songs, one of these songs, Tyson, you wrote when you were 19 years old or something like that.
Correct.
And then some of them we wrote this year. So really is a all-encompassing track listing.
It's coming. It's all around. Like, that's great. Because you've had a couple albums before this, right? When you first were, and you've had some smaller singles that you released, like Ride last summer, some other EPs that you've put out. But this is like the next big venture. Is there a reason that you decided now's the time to sort of get these songs recorded?
Well, I can say for me, it was it was about capturing this moment, and it was about like really with this particular lineup showing what it is that we're giving to people on a show-to-show basis. And we've been kind of kicking these songs around live and changing them up and letting them evolve. And we just felt like it was the time to really put out a large, because we've been doing EPs since 2016. It's mm-hmm. just like little bursts of music, but we felt like now was the time to do a full 12 song album.
We had a bit of a lucky meetup with Justin Smith, our producer here, because we just played a show in Gustavus and just sort of ran into him. Of all places, he is a phenomenal engineer, and he's got so much knowledge. And we just happened to play a show there and get to talking to him. And so that was kind of one of the stars aligning that said we got to do this whole big full thing.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, having a great producer is key, right? I mean, that's really key to have that person who's helping you out. And I love the idea of sort of capturing the moment, right? Like you said, I think that's really cool in terms of like this moment in time, these songs now with this lineup, Because things change, right? Things change. People move on. People move out of state. They leave the band. They come back to the band. Whatever it might be, right? You have different partners that you're going to be doing that. And I know you guys you've performed in Juneau before. You've performed live a few times down here, so people in town might be familiar with you. I do want to mention that you will be playing two nights this weekend. You're going to be at the Crystal Saloon both Friday and Saturday night with a couple different lineups. Who are these friends that are going to be showing up? Is it some of our other local musicians that we love and listen to?
It is. It's the Muskie Collective folks. So Annie will be there and Josh Fortenberry and Andrew Heist and Taylor, the whole crew.
Yeah, we love them. They played some music for us at the last show last year for the holidays.
Nice.
So that was really the Muskie Collective is great. And what they're that whole thing is cool, too, because they're all like they talked about it. They were getting together because each of them wanted to do an album and they wanted to support each other to do those albums. And so like Annie's was first. I know Taylor's working. Josh is pretty close to finishing his. Like, it's really, what a great time for music. It's just so awesome. Now, the other thing I want to mention too is that, you listening can support, right? Because this stuff isn't cheap. This is not easy to do. You've flown all the way down here, and you're staying, probably you're crashing on couches or who knows what you're doing, but you got equipment and you got production costs. You got to pay this producer guy. And so you do have an Indiegogo. I'll put the link on the show notes for this webpage today. But I think you can go to Indiegogo and just search for Blackwater Railroad Company, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You'll find it there. And I think the cool thing about it is that almost all the incentives get you not just get you the album, but get you early access to it. Mm. So anything above $10, you get the new album. You're going to get it earlier than anybody else would if they just went and bought the CD. Mm. And then we also have other cool incentives like an exclusive CD album art that you can only get through this pre-backing campaign, which is fun.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we're going to have like a vinyl, a shirt that has the album art on it. And then in the higher incentive levels, you could get a decal on your on our van of your business or we'll even come to a private show. But feel free to reach out, especially if you're in Juneau and you want to do that before you invest, because some more discussion will happen if we got to fly for you.
That's pretty fun. I love that. That's a great way to support. You just go to Indiegogo and search for Blackwater Railroad Company and it'll come up and you can support them that way. You can also support by going to the Crystal this weekend.
Absolutely.
To know that, as I looked at the website, it looks like the tickets in advance are 20 and at the door they're 30. So if you plan on going to the show, best to get in there early and get those $20 tickets or spend 30 and help the band out with a little more cash. You can always throw some of them at it on stage too, a little greenbacks. So you're never going to turn those down, right?
Yes.
So that's good. So I'm just curious before, I know you're going to play a little something for us, which would be nice to hear. On our lovely Myrtle microphone that we have in there from Ear Trumpet Labs. Mm. I'm really curious about the formation of the band. Like I heard that it was started in a garage. What's the formation? What's the founding of the band? How did it happen? To some people met and decided to get together or what?
Yeah, it was, it started with Seward Locals, in the winter of 2012 into 2013. And I'm the only original member left.
Pissed everybody off.
I did.
And they
did.
Left the band. Creative differences.
Indeed. And it's the whole experience of Blackwater from its beginning to now is just like, it's constantly evolving and people, it's a very transient place. So people like everybody from that was in the band have all moved from Alaska.
Right. Right.
So, that also like because of Blackwater opened me up to a whole community of musicians statewide and being able to network and connect, we were able to keep this thing going and let it grow in different ways with different sounds.
I see. Okay. So Tyson, you're the original.
Yeah.
And then did you, cause you also, a couple of you write the songs too, right? Is it you all sort of pitch in musically or lyrically? How does that work?
Yeah. Tyson and I write a majority of them, but there is a few songs on the record which Tyson kind of wrote like a verse for and brought it to the group, and we all kind of pitched in and wrote it together.
Gotcha.
So we're getting a lot more collaborative with it.
Yeah.
And besides that, like one of us will just bring a song to the group and we'll start jamming on it and see if it feels right. And
does it start with like, does somebody bring in like you know, a lick, or do they bring in a lyric, or does it, like, does somebody say, hey, I've figured out this great chord progression, and then you start just jamming around that? Is that you making music in the room, or how does that, how do you guys do it?
Yeah, it's kind of a song to song kind of thing. It's like, there's Rock and Roll Man, which is going to be a song on our record. And I walked in just to hang out at T's one day, and he's like, hey, check this out. He just starts playing two chords, and he's like, hum, 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 hum. He just starts humming.
Yeah.
And then that got stuck in my head. And it was like, you got to write that song, because just that melody is stuck in my head. And yeah. Grew from there. We wrote it together.
It's true. And like it happens a bunch of different ways. Every way you mentioned it happens. Just kind of like wherever momentum starts, we will like, and now with this is like the most collaborative Blackwater's been, where like all of us have like great like musical identities that like are very creative and very motivated. So like, the song can come from anybody, instead of like in some years past, it might've been just me that was writing the songs, but now it can go, the momentum can go anywhere.
I think it was Kyle, right? Yeah. Mentioned that you have a song on the album that you wrote when you were 19, Tyson.
Yeah.
So like, did you just have this piece of paper in a notebook with the lyrics on it, or did you have some music to it, or did you evolve the song with the band as you kind of got into it?
That particular song was pretty much done, but, it was because of COVID. I was like going through and digging through like old hard drives and stuff, and I found this song that I'd written forever ago, and it was like, huh,
wait a minute, hold on a second. How old are you now?
I turned 40 this year, so it was 20 years ago.
Half his life.
Yeah.
When with COVID, boy, that time, really, COVID time just really went through it.
It's true. I aged 10 years in those 2 years. But no,
yeah. Wait a minute. I get it. You went back to the hard drives during COVID.
During COVID.
Yeah. Okay, because at first I thought you were saying you were 19 during COVID. I was like, wait a minute. How old are you?
No, I get it. Yeah, I found the song there. It just like forgotten. Like I just tons of like notebooks and this, that, and the other.
I see. Okay.
Since we weren't playing out, and everybody was kind of holed up, I was just kind of going through what we had worked on in the past, and that song kind of resurfaced, and we started jamming on it. It's like, huh, this needs to be a part of the thing.
Now I feel like there has to be a song, like, I was 19 and COVID-19. There you go. Oh, see, man. How collaborative we are.
Wow. That's incredible. Right here on the spot.
Yeah, now we got to add a 14th song to the album.
I love it. Yeah. Okay. Cool. I want to hear some stuff, right? We want to hear a little live. Yeah. We're doing a smaller. We're breaking it down. This is like the acoustic version. Mm-hmm. We got the saxophone. Looks like we got the fiddle in here.
I got a shaker.
And I got a shaker. Yeah. And so let's hop up on the mic there. Let me turn up the mic. Turn these guys down a little bit, and let you guys get set up. And what are we going to be hearing?
Raging Bull in the Barroom.
Raging Bull in the Barroom. Awesome. That sounds good. All right, I think I'll adjust on the fly here as you guys go.
Are we coming through?
Yeah. You're good.
Okay, ready to do this?
Somebody be missing you. That's the way I've heard it said. Pull the better blade in Bolden's, and that liar ends up dead. Stealing a kiss in these parts is worse than stealing bread. Hope so and so's seeing red. Now my back's to the wall. This ballroom, but I think it's soon. Law will be called. Can't go back to the pan. This raging bull made to play the fool once I laid against his jam. Let's go, friend. Got rusted book embedded in a sail down Barrow Way. That's the last time that I trust my life from a woman from Bristol Bay. And I killed her love regardless, and I left him where he lay on the floor of the boarding train. Well, this wayward life has led me to a land I can't pronounce. Hair advice and port advice, seeking gold by the ounce. I thought this work would lead me to a life of freedom. Now I got my doubts. Ooh, I got my doubts. Ooh, I got my doubts. Now my back's to the wall.
To the wall.
Now this small room I fake it to. I'll be called, can't take back this life of sin. I'll just pretend when this life ends, I'll get to start again.
Let's have it one more time. Go ahead.
I'll just pretend when this life ends, I'll get to start again. I'll just pretend when this life ends, I'll get to start again. No, I'll just pretend when this life ends, I'll get to start again.
Ow! Yeah. I love that. That sounds great. Let's keep it rolling. Can you do a little bit more and we'll go out with you doing that? I just want to remind people before you do the last bit that you can catch Blackwater Railroad Company at the Crystal Saloon this Friday and Saturday. Go to crystalsaloon.com for more on the band. You can go to blackwaterrailroad.com. That's where the band is. You can find out information and follow all the tour dates that they do. And I guess information on there will come out when the album's coming out. We're going to probably drop it like sometime later this year, right? Correct. Sometime around there? Yeah. All right. So we'll go out with a little more Blackwater Railroad Company.
Right. This one's called Surrender off the new album. It's about divorce. Cedar Square Science Hill had to turn his hand from violence to keep his kids out of jail. But surrendering was the hardest thing. What do you hammer if not a nail? Right, let's go. Texas restaurant had to turn her head from judgment, a lesson mother taught well. But surrendering was the hardest thing. Set their course without a sail. If we both keep our heads up, maybe we'll end up on the same side. Party without a fight. Sometimes we seem to keep from crying, sometimes we have to write it down. But surrendering was the hardest thing.
I love it. Thank you all for coming in so much.
Yeah.
This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
Support for this programming comes from Nugget Alaskan Outfitter, with winter gear for the whole family, including hats, gloves, coats, and boots, located in the Mendenhall Mall and online at nuggetoutfitter.com.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akwan. The Clene D have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot, once part of the Tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who travel to and from these Tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life, for today and for future generations. We'd like to take a moment and say thank you to the individuals who helped us craft our daily land acknowledgement. Gwyneth Cheesh Tavira Starbart, who planted the idea of making it super play specific and guided us on pronunciation. Lillian Petershore, who created so much of the beautiful structure. Ishmael Hope, who gave us additional ideas, and Ernestine Hayes, Bob Sam, and Fran Houston, who gave important feedback. We are grateful to all those offering guidance as we grow as an organization. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Aphasia is a language disorder that impacts people following damage to the brain, often from stroke or traumatic brain injury. And the speech pathology team at Bartlett Regional Hospital is hosting another round of the Aphasia Conversation Group, running now through February 21st. It's on Wednesdays from noon to 1. And here to share more about it are Shona Osterhout and Marisha Bourgeois. Welcome to you both.
Thanks, Boston, for having us.
It's so nice to have you here again. I know we talked about this, was it last summer, spring, somewhere in there?
I think it was spring.
So now here's the thing. I want to get this straight first, because there's a British pronunciation, aphasia, and then there's more of an American aphasia.
Right.
So what do you all say here?
Aphasia.
Okay.
Well, I mean, so it's actually kind of funny, because there's actually something called dysphagia.
Okay.
Which is a swallowing disorder.
Oh.
So, you know, it's
which we also treat.
We also treat that too, but okay. Not part of this group.
Not part of this group. Yeah.
So, you know, we could, there's just a lot of different, you know, the medical field has a lot of different pronunciations.
Well,
of everything.
Well, our prescriptions and everything, we don't know how to say anything.
I know,
so
right?
I just want to, because I know we hear it different ways, and I've seen different videos of it, and I was like curious about it, because I was like, how do you actually, and then I heard one guy was very, you know, aphasia.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that sounds a little fancy for America.
Yeah, we're straight up aphasia.
Aphasia, okay.
Yeah.
And of course, it is a language disorder, and people get affected in so many different ways, from strokes or, as you call them, TBIs, traumatic brain injury. And so is this the second time you've done the conversation group then?
Yeah, so this will be the second time we're doing it.
Okay.
And it was something that, you know, we saw lots of states have aphasia groups,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, different cities, and Juno just had never had one. And with Shona joining the team, we just thought it was the best time to get this going and to help our community.
Now, last time I know here you were here, Shona, you were about to graduate, I think.
It happened.
It happened. Okay.
I passed.
Then, and you passed, and they liked you so much at Bartlett that they hired you.
I got very lucky.
Yeah. I scooped her up as soon as I could.
Awesome. That's great. Well, it's good. It's good to know. And our, as Shona and I's theater past always come back to haunt us. And but it's always great to see that, you know, new horizons, new things. I think you mentioned last time it was like, you know, theater doesn't pay for a kid and a house. And
funny it doesn't.
All the things that need to happen in life. And I concur.
Yeah.
So that's kind of funny. So did the group go well last? It must have gone well enough last time that you decided to do it again.
Yeah, I think we all learned a lot. We have some of the same people and they couldn't wait to join the group again. And we have some new people as well.
That's great. And let's say, so it's called the Aphasia Conversation Group. So it's really, it's an opportunity for people to come to the place, right? To come to Bartlett, or you meet at the, Robert Vallant Administration Building. Is that right?
Yeah. So at the hospital, there's, you know, if you're going towards the main entryway, there's two buildings across, you know, just the short street there. And they're like the admin buildings. They have some conference rooms.
Okay.
It's just kind of a nicer place to meet.
As opposed to going into the sterile and thing. And it's where like the nutrition people are in that building as well. And people have been over there, I'm sure. And so it's an opportunity for people to come on Wednesdays. And this is going to go through February 21st, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's from noon to one. And you don't have to have, I know it started like a week or so ago.
Yeah, we started last week. And we had a conversation group today.
Yeah.
So it's great. It's kind of, you can drop in, you know, people can drop in and we welcome like care partners too. So, you know, like, because lots of times, you know, people might not be able to drive or, so people can stop in and kind of join the conversation. We try to make it so it's part education about aphasia. So different ways to communicate, different things that people with aphasia need that are, you know, that are just different than kind of what people without aphasia would need.
Right.
And so part's education and the other part is like really just having fun and giving opportunities to practice, you know.
Yeah.
Practice speaking.
Some have to relearn the language, right? Is that part of what it is?
Yeah. And we're facilitating, you know, language and language being expressive language or even receptive, how they understand things.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the speaking of it, but it's also the understanding of it.
Right. Because with aphasia, different types of aphasia, some people have pure, it's all expressive. They have challenges in that area. And some people have pure where it's all challenges and comprehension, or you can have a mix of both.
I see. And so is aphasia different than, say, you know, dementia, which I know, or Alzheimer's, are they totally different, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So usually, Alzheimer's, you know, it's usually progressive.
Yeah.
Disease, but with something like aphasia, you know, it's somebody's had a brain injury. So, you know, we say traumatic brain injury, that could be an accident, falling on the ice, that kind of thing.
Right.
But a lot of times it happens, like you said, post-stroke.
Okay.
It could be from a brain tumor. It could be from infectious disease that spreads to the brain. And so this, you know, so there's just a bunch of different kind of ways. But for us, it's like we're really trying to get at kind of the four modalities of language, which that would be reading, writing, speaking, and understanding. So those four modalities we work on with people in the conversation group, and everybody has different kind of strengths in each area. They could have a deficit in one area, two areas, four areas. It kind of just depends where their injury was.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay. Yeah. We're talking about the aphasia conversation group that's happening at Bartlett Regional Hospital. You can call 796-8431 to learn more. It's on Wednesdays from noon to one, and it runs until February 21st. And so I'm curious, it's something that, because like you said with the other ones, which like Alzheimer's is sort of degenerative, right? It sort of just gets worse and worse and worse. This is something that can be a positive in essence, like people can relearn and sort of, and they can have this injury and then hopefully figure out how to, I don't know, get better. For lack of a better word.
Right. Or sometimes it's a very mild form of it.
Okay.
I can speak to, I had a concussion. That's what we call these days, a mild traumatic brain injury. And I had anomic aphasia. So it's one where I had a hard time saying the names of certain words, remembering them, like specifically familiar names.
Okay.
But over time, I got better.
I see.
So, you know, a lot of times with aphasia, it's not this permanent thing. Sometimes you're working through it and then your neural pathways form. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
Ta-da.
It's interesting because the brain is so fascinating.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's a fascinating thing. I don't even know where it's like, because I'm thinking like, like you had this concussion.
Uh-huh.
And it obviously triggered something in the brain to have you forget certain mm-hmm. ways to say things. But then over time, it was able to relearn.
Yeah.
The tissue was there, or something happened.
Well,
right?
the neurons rebuild. So we have this part of our brain, or it's just in, you know, aphasia is very much a growth mindset. So we're always kind of moving upward and onward, right? And so, but we have neuroplasticity. So basically it means that our brain stretches and then we have all these new neurons and they want to make pathways.
Mm.
They're desperately constantly seeking out new pathways mm-hmm. to correct and relearn behavior. So it's pretty amazing. And our language centers really want to do that.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's something I tell my patients, like your brain is always fighting for you.
Wasn't it? It's that old weird science fiction thing or whatever it was, where we only use 5% of our brain. So there's 95% that needs to pitch in here.
Totally.
You know, to help out. Like, yeah, you know, yeah. Grab on these other neurons and make pathways. So how do people, if you know someone or if you are affected this way, this is a group for you, right? Is that we're trying to get the message out here. What is the message that you all want to make sure that people know?
Well, I think, you know, we want to let the community know that there's a place to practice.
Yeah.
Speaking, comprehending, if you've been impacted by a stroke, head injury, brain tumor, any way, you know, that you need assistance communicating. I think this is something we just want to get across, that you're not alone.
Yeah.
And we're here and we're a resource and we're happy to help. We love helping people.
Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, we also love to talk and like get to know people. And so it gives people for them, like you said, so they're not alone. They're not going through this on their own. There's other people that are doing the exact same thing. We were kind of crunching numbers earlier and research, and there's like 2 million people in the United States that have aphasia post-stroke or post-TBI. So it's higher numbers than people might think. It goes from really severe to, you know, mild to severe. There's just a bunch of different ways. And so us as speech and language pathologists, it's Marisha, myself, and another pathologist named Chelsea, Steffi, and we all work with the group to facilitate language. You know, so we're asking questions, we're writing things down on communication boards, we're tapping things out, we're singing, we're doing whatever the things that we need to do to facilitate this language. So
because each individual has maybe a different mm-hmm. way to figure it out, right?
Totally
right.
Different presentation, everybody, you know?
Yeah. We have some, like one of them is great at drawing, you know? So that's one modality for that person.
Yeah. And you said too that you caregivers who are helping those folks out are also welcome to come. Mm-hmm. And like you said, there's an educational component. So if you're confused about it or you don't know what's happening, it's a great way to learn a little bit more too, right?
Yeah. And I think one of the things I've seen as a provider is, you know, a lot of people have strokes and they don't know that they have aphasia. Mm. They were like, I came to see a speech language pathologist because I had a stroke. And, you know, or the caregiver will say, like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
But this word hasn't been laid out to them in any way. So part of our job, too, is education, a lot of education. And then also, how can the caregiver best assist someone with aphasia within the household? What sort of things can you do to help your person?
Right.
Because it's, you know, it's really, really difficult speaking from a person that has spent their lifetime talking, you know, like a lot, to stop and wait and just let people really think about what it is they want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes practice.
Yeah.
You know, and if we could tell care partners like one thing, it's just, you got to wait.
Patience.
Yeah. You got to be silent. Yeah. Right. And give space for people to think and come up with what they want to say.
I think that's good advice in life. Totally. I mean, really, because not everybody, I mean, we all know those quick-witted people who can come up with stuff really fast. And then there's other people who have to think it out a little bit before they speak and like want to make sure that they're saying what they really want to say, because, you know, there's some of us, I don't know, maybe there's someone like me who has, you know, been a victim of what we call word vomit, you know, where you're just speaking and you don't even really know what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
And so trying to figure that out and be really mindful of that. But then if you're talking with somebody who has difficulty that way, if somebody can only draw, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. Marisha, or if there's somebody who has to tap it out sound wise, you have to then, you can't get frustrated when you're dealing with that person. You have to sort of learn the patience of, because you want to maybe make it go faster.
Right.
You want to like, what do you want?
Yeah. Or you want to fill the gaps in. Yeah. And like I have been inaccurate so many times. I'm like, oh, you don't mean that at all.
Oh,
I am
right.
So sorry. I filled right. in that gap that was completely incorrect.
I know what that. Yeah, I get that. I feel you on that. Wow.
Yeah. It's, you know, creating that safe space where people feel confident enough to practice too, because you see it all the time. People are scared of their own speech because it may not come out the way they expect it to, and they shut down.
Mm.
And you'll hear, you know, if they're in a one-on-one session with me, the caregiver will be like, yeah, they just kind of stopped talking. And so this is a place where we hope they can feel safe enough to practice. To build their confidence.
That's awesome.
Well, like today we talked about the band, the Scorpions and Rat and, you know,
right.
It just
Led Zeppelin.
It doesn't, it's not always like really heavy. We're talking about brains all the time. Right. It's also like, okay, we like metal music. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. We're learning about each other in the group. And I think that's like this beautiful organic thing that happens.
Yeah, I think it's great. The Aphasia Conversation Group, I hope it continues. I know it's going to go in sessions, it seems like. So this particular session goes through February 21st. It meets Wednesdays from noon to 1. You can call 796-8431 to learn more, 796-8431, or just call Bartlett and ask for the speech pathology department. I'm sure you'll be able to find somebody there. And these group meetings are held in the Robert Valiant Administration Building at 3245 Hospital Drive. Well, Gwyneth Cheese, for being here today and telling us all about it. And if you know someone or if you yourself are impacted, this is a great way. The Aphasia Conversation Group. Shona, Marisha, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Bossy.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. All right, next up, UAS's Spring Career Fair is just around the corner in February. We'll chat with UAS Career Services Manager Amy Richards about her work at UAS and what you can do to get prepped for the career fair. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Every Alaskan can make a difference when they file online for their PFD. Pick, Click, Give, a great and easy way to support nonprofits in Alaska. You simply donate during your PFD application process. There are dozens of nonprofits that you can support in Juneau alone, including KTOO. The application period for the PFD begins January 1st and runs through March 31st. More information can be found at pickclickgive.org.
Let's have a store party. This is Steve Kosas with the Marie Drake Planetarium. I'm going to talk about the size of the universe. First, what is a universe? It's all of space and time, the fundamental processes, interactions, and all of these stars with their accompanying planets that are associated in galaxies, which are grouped into clusters and superclusters of galaxies. Our own Milky Way galaxy is thought to have around 200 billion stars. And in the universe as a whole, there's thought to be at least 200 billion galaxies. So what is the size of the universe? Well, first we have to talk about what the shapes of the universe are. It can be infinite and flat, like a chessboard. It can have a negative curvature that extends into infinity, like a horse saddle, or it can have a positive curvature that's bounded and finite, like the surface of a sphere. But in the case of our universe, it would be a sphere in a higher dimension, a hypersphere. The current thought is that our universe is infinite and flat, Euclidean. Now, when astronomers talk about the size of the universe, they're referring to the observable universe, which is a sphere that encompasses the celestial objects that our optical, electronic, and digital tools can observe. And that turns out to be a sphere with a radius of 45 billion light years. This is Steve Kosas with the Marie Drake Planetarium. Our public shows are on our website at mariedrakeplanetarium.org. Thank you.
Listening to Juno Afternoon from KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Joining me now, live in Studio 2K, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson, is Amy Richards, Career Services Manager at the University of Alaska Southeast. Thank you so much for being here today. Wasiati, how's it going?
Gunalchish, for having me. It's going great. Great to be here.
And thank you for making the trek down in this frigid and windy weather. I know we were joking as we got into the studio here. It was like you got blown down.
I really did. We don't have quite those winds at Auk Lake campus right now.
Yeah, it's amazing right now. This weather pattern and the things that we've gone through this last couple days, week or so, and it's just going to get colder too, apparently. So I don't know. Anyway, so let's first start with you. I'm curious about your work as a career services manager. What does that mean?
Yeah, great question. I basically, in a nutshell, help connect students and employers so that our graduates have careers when they come out of the university. But in addition to that, we help connect them as well for summer employment, for internships. And so I'm also helping students through that whole process of identifying the career paths they're interested in and the whole career development journey that they need to pursue, you know, to reach their goals. So that might be networking skills, getting their resume up to date, working on job applications, practicing interview skills, you know, even as basic as learning how to cold call an employer or approach
scary.
An employer. Yeah, a little scary,
right?
But when you practice it with career services, not so scary.
Yeah.
Or when you come to our events, it's a great place to practice because students are aware that employers know their students and that they're developing these skills and they might not be, you know, a polished professional with 10 years experience yet, but employers are still interested in them. And that's why they come to us looking for our students and graduates.
But they're looking for that little spark, right? They're looking for that little thing in you that says, yeah, you might be a little nervous in this interview, but you've got the talent and you've got the skills that we're going to go ahead and hire you. So it sounds to me, it sounds like it's if somebody, I mean, like it sounds like a guidance counselor in high school, but a little more advanced, right? You're like an advanced, you're like more advanced because you're
next level.
Next level, yeah.
Yeah, next level of the career development and not so much the social emotional support.
Right.
I mean, we still provide a really supportive environment in all our offices at UAS, but with career services, we're really focused on that career track.
Yeah.
Students are really keen. You know, they're looking for the internships, they're looking for the connections. It's just they don't always know how to take that first step.
Right.
So
like, what do I do? How do I write a cover letter?
Yeah.
Where do I say when I call in?
And which employer do I approach? Yeah. Like who's hiring? All those questions. So we help them with those steps.
I see. And you act as sort of a liaison for, like, let's say an employer is calling the university and going, where are the students who do X, Y, Z? They call you.
Yes. And actually, so I've only been in this position for under 2 years. And it's something that surprised me about the job is how much I'm hearing from employers and how interested they are in hiring our students.
Oh, that's cool.
A lot of my work is connecting them. We have an online job board. So I connect employers with that online job board. You know, we talk about academic ties. So how does the curriculum tie to internships maybe that they want to develop, for example?
Gotcha. Okay.
And yeah, and employers are looking for new ways to recruit as well. So they're willing to meet with people a little earlier in their career to make those connections earlier so that when students get that diploma, they're ready to go, they've already built a relationship.
Yeah, because sometimes people do that junior year internship and then they get hired by that company like after their senior year, right? Like they sort of, you creating those relationships is key, really. That's really what it's all about.
Absolutely. Yeah. That is the one constant that hasn't changed. You know, technology has changed over the years. Things have changed, but relationships are still key to the career process.
Yeah.
And internships, again, are a great way to kind of develop those relationships and get the foot in the door early.
So you said you have been doing this position for about 2 years, you said. So what were you doing before?
I was an academic advisor for the 8 years prior to that at UAS as well. So I've always been working closely with students.
Okay.
And as an academic advisor, you also do some of the career counseling as well.
Yeah.
But this in this position, I've gone more to also working with employers and really dedicating my work to student career development rather than focusing on also on academics.
I see. Okay. Well, let's talk about this Spring Career Fair.
Yeah.
This is coming up in a little over a month, right? Well, yeah, about five and a half weeks or so, February 27th. It's on a Tuesday and it's from 11 to 2. And the first thing I want to get out of the way is we always hear this, the UAS Spring Career Fair. And we think, oh, it's for the students. But you are actually saying anybody can come to the career fair.
That's right. So our campus is open to the public and this event is open to the public. And we do see folks come in from the community to attend looking for employment. But also, of course, we want our local employers to be there as well. Because we've had so much demand from employers in recent years, we've moved the location for the first time this year so that we could double the amount of employer booths.
Wow. And
yeah. So normally we have around 30 employers in attendance this year. We already have 47 registered and we're confident we'll get up to 60.
That is amazing.
Yeah, we appreciate the support. And our students come out for this event. They are eager to speak to the employers that are there. They're looking for summer employment or they're about to graduate and they're looking for that first big opportunity after their degree.
You know, it's that thing that, I mean, we hear this in the news recently all the time, like there's shortages. They can't find enough workers in this field or that field. And I mean, I no wonder the employers are hungry, I think. Like, I mean, they're like, we want to find the next wave of folks because it is a, it's sort of like, you know, it's like it's a workers market maybe, right? In terms of the availability of the kinds of jobs that are out there.
It is. And then the other piece also is that sometimes students will think of an organization, for example, Search, they're attending our fair. They'll think that's for people who are going to healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
No, you know, of course, yes, but there are many other positions that Search is looking
IT
to fill.
IT, and they have so many.
Administrative, accounting, you name it. And so that actually, a lot of our employers are in that position. So this is a chance for them to have conversations with students about the other opportunities that they offer. And again, things like internships or special opportunities for them to come in early.
And you're still looking for businesses. I know I'll put the flyer up, a picture of it. It does have a QR code, but you can also register for the fair at uas.alaska.edu/career_services. And if you're an employer, you can still get a spot, right?
Yeah, there are still a few spaces available. So if you're an employer listening and you're eager to join our fair, I do recommend that you get in touch with us in the next few days to secure your spot because we are about 80% full right now.
Yeah, 80%. Okay. And if you're a student, do you have to do anything or you just show up?
We would love
or
students.
Or student or person.
Yeah. So that's a great question. We use a program called Handshake. So that's where students and employers can register for the career fair.
Okay.
So if a student registers for the career fair, there's some advantages. They can see all the employers who are attending and they can research the employer a little bit.
Sure. That's a smart move.
Yeah. And if they want to follow up, then they are connected on that platform to the employer if the student decides they want to reach out to that employer.
Gotcha. So. One of the best things I ever heard about a cover letter was research the company and mention something about them in the cover letter to show that you've actually like looked into them a little bit. And this isn't just a, you know, what do you call it? A template that you're sending to everybody. Show that you're interested in them. Right?
Yeah. That genuine interest is important. And if a student wants to feel really prepared going in and maybe a little less nervous, doing that research can help them prepare a couple of questions and just, you know, have some better awareness of who they're talking to.
Yeah, we got a couple minutes left. I want to make sure that we mention some of these wonderful employers who are going to be there. You've got different industries. You've got outdoor education with Discovery Southeast. You've got mining and tourism, of course, with a bunch of different companies. Gastineau Guiding, Coeur Mining, of course, Unplugged Adventures, Allen Marine Tours. You've got environmental folks. So you've got the Department of Fish and Game, which is a great place to work, I hear. All these other places, the Forest Service, which is a wonderful place as well. You've got a bunch of different arts groups who will be there. The Peace Corps, in case you want to go do some service work after you graduate for a year or two. The Permanent Fund Corporation, JPD, who we have them on a monthly basis, and they're always still looking for police officers. So if you're into criminal justice and things like that, and they don't have just police officer positions, they have dispatcher positions and all kinds of things that you can learn about at the career fair. Are there others that you want to highlight on here to make sure that we know about? There's different Alaska Native organizations will be there.
You know, I think you covered it. If folks do want a list of who's all attending, they can contact my office and I can provide them with that list.
Yeah.
If they're students, they can just go into their Handshake account and all the register for the fair and they'll see all the employers. And more are being added every day.
Yeah.
We really have a great variety. That's what I would point out. We have people from all sectors coming to the job fair. So there really is something for everybody.
And usually you get really cool swag at these things too.
Yeah.
Like sometimes they bring their swag from their offices and stuff. So even if you don't want to work for them, you might get a cool, like, you know, water cozy or, you know, who knows what you get. I don't know, a key ring or something.
Nope. They have swag. They have draws for bigger prizes.
Right.
They also usually bring all kinds of sweet treats and candy. So that's a little bonus of coming in.
That is so cool. Well, Amy Richards from the UAS Career Services, is it the Department of Career or is it?
It's Department of One.
Department of One, the Career Services Manager.
Yes.
She manages herself and she does all of this work interfacing with employers and students to help them find jobs, internships, and careers. It sounds like a very rewarding work because you're getting to see people begin that journey.
Yeah, exactly. And celebrate their wins when they get that job or get that internship. It is a positive experience and it's fun to be a part of it. And just like to circle back to the date on that again.
Yeah.
So that fair is happening February 27th. That's a Tuesday. It's from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on the ground floor of our beautiful Egan Library.
The ground floor of the Egan Library. And you can go to uas.alaska.edu/career_services and they'll have a link to the job fair there as well. Or you can find out information on how to contact Amy if you aren't a student and you want to get involved or learn a little bit more about the businesses that will be there if you're looking for work. So Amy Gunath-Cheesh for being here today. Thank you so much for giving us all those wonderful details.
Gunath-Cheesh, Boston. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Have a wonderful Wednesday. On tomorrow's show, Culture Rich Conversations from Juno Black Awareness Association looks at the legacy and career of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Juno Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello out the road, UAS and all those other folks out that way. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music music is by Indian Agent. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Thanks, and have a safe and warm and hopefully not too windy Juno evening.